From the Latin de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 8th day of March 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel, the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, the bird flu in China continues to take lives. Governments around the planet are worried about the new strain of the disease. Tyson Foods has been slapped with a multi-million dollar civil penalty for violating the Clean Air Act, and manufacturing in the United States appears to be on the upswing. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour, and then I'll tell you how the grain stocks report has caused the price of corn to drop dramatically, you already know that, but that it's also narrowed the difference between the expected profits from an acre of corn and an acre of soybeans for this growing season. And don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast, and that it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm. You can learn more about the services they offer at 800-637-3123.
Let's check the numbers in Chicago. As they finished up on this Monday afternoon, May contract after a 115 close again today. In the soft red winter wheat at $7.12.5, up 13.5. July at $7.17.5, up 13.25. That's the harvest month, of course. Harvest month in Kansas City, July at $7.52, up 19.25. Back in Chicago from the corn pit, $6.33.5, up 4.5. July at $6.19.5, a penny and 3/4 higher. September futures down 3/4 at $5.51.25, and December at $5.32, down 3. March corn at $5.42.5, 3.5 lower, and next year's May at $5.50.25, down 3.75. May beans at $13.78 on its settlement, up 16.25. July at $13.58, up 14.25, and the August at $13.29.25, up 12 cents. September soybeans 12.70.5, up 5.5, and November 12.32.25, 4.25 higher. January beans at 12.38.25, up 4.25 as well. Bean meal futures at 3.93.30, up 1.50. Bean oil at 49.52 on their settlement price, 69 cents higher. Live cattle in the April at 126.27.5, were up 25. Feeders at 142.75, 17.5 higher, and the April lean hogs at $80.52.5 finished 50 cents higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the afternoon, $93.37 a barrel. That finished 67 cents higher on the day. RBOB gasoline at 291 and 5 tenths, 5 and a tenth of a cent higher. Ethanol trading at 246 and 3 tenths, up 4 and 6 tenths of a cent. And the difference between the two is 42 and 2 tenths of a cent. That's a half a cent higher or wider than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $4.08 and 4 tenths of a cent for the natural gas. That's down 4 1/10 of a cent. And heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.95 and 4 tenths, up 4 and 4 tenths. Gold futures on the day at $1,572.10 an ounce, down $3.40. The U.S. dollar trading 82.75, up 0.25 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. A 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, high of 73 degrees. Tonight, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. And this evening, the low will be 58 degrees in the area. Tomorrow, a chance of thunderstorms and showers continue. That's set at 30%, mainly before 1 in the afternoon. Mostly cloudy skies, a high of 74. It'll be breezy again with winds out of the southwest at 11 to 20. And then tomorrow evening, showers and thunderstorms likely after 1 a.m. Mostly cloudy, a low of 60. South winds at 11 to 14. Chance of precipitation on Tuesday night at 60%. Occasional showers on Wednesday, a high of 70 degrees. Chance of precip then 80%. Wednesday night, occasional showers and thunderstorms, low of 44. Again, an 80% chance of rain on Wednesday night. And Thursday, showers, mostly cloudy, a high of 51. Chance of precipitation on Thursday in the area set at 40%. We'll have more on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy. They're in Chicago, Illinois.
Lease and services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
On the phone line for a Monday afternoon here on the Closing Market Report is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, the trade has changed once again, at least the hours. And so last night, the open was a bit later than it has been for a while, 7 o'clock in the evening Central Time to 7, what, 45 today, right?
Yep.
This morning. Then they took a little pause and open back up with both the electronic and open outcry at 8:30. How'd that go?
Well, I don't like change. I guess I set my ways. When we go out to eat for supper, I always order the same thing at the restaurant. I don't like to try something new because it usually turns out not to be very... That's my expectations, but I was a little different. I didn't like the later start because we do have people utilize the night hour, so makes the evening a little bit later. But during the pause there, it's a little bit of a challenge for us, our electronic order system. It wouldn't accept orders until about 7:15, so we had about 15 minutes there. 8:15 before the reopening at 8:30. If you don't stay focused and get sidetracked, you have a little challenge getting orders in before it starts trading again.
Yeah,
then you have 15-minute slot there. So from a broker's point of view, it's just a matter of getting a little adjusted to and getting the system down and getting back into the rhythm of it.
Good news is you're done at 1:15 in the afternoon, at least with the trade. And all you had to do today was wait for 45 minutes to talk to me.
Yes. Yes. We played a hand of euchre and...
You did not.
No. No, it does. The earlier close does help. We're fine. Get the work done and get out a little earlier and prepare for the next day's activity again.
But all in all, it just kind of went off without a hitch, I suppose, today.
Well, for the most part, yeah. It's something we're going to have to get adjusted to. The change hopefully will help somebody out somewhere so they can get along too. But the main thing is to make sure we have an orderly market flow and not be subject to really a big surprise when we reopen or resume trading at 8:30 in the morning. That's the biggest fear there, is to have something develop in that 45-minute period, and all of a sudden you gap one way or the other and then have to end up chasing the marketplace. That'd be the thing to watch down the road.
I guess we don't have to worry about that because USDA moved all their reports to 11 o'clock, including the WASDE numbers, which come out on Wednesday.
Yeah, big event. We'll see where the numbers fall. There's a pretty wide range on the estimates, so we'll see if there's a major surprise. But as far as the corn goes, trade expects a smaller corn export number, smaller feed usage number, looking for carryout to rise, of course. In the beans, a little bigger number there. And even in the wheat, a little bit bigger on the export. On ending stocks, that is, so we'll see what we have to deal with there. But once the report comes out, we'll focus on day-to-day supply and demand. Basis remains somewhat firm, ending cane still a tight situation on old crop for what's remaining. We'll see how the weather starts to unfold here as we move down the road, but as of right now, it looks like some corn is going into the ground, and it'll become more of a rapid progress once we get through this midweek rain event.
Now, I did see at least one little picture on Twitter over the weekend in western Illinois, Jacksonville area, where they were planting corn. I suppose there are a lot more planters out there than that at this point across a good portion of the state. When you look at the range for the ending stocks for corn, you said it was wide, but it's 300 million bushels wide. That's a big range.
Well, for old crop, it's, the big debate is, a pipeline. How big is pipeline? 600 million is too small, and probably over 900 maybe. It's a little too big, but it's just going to focus on, how much supplies there, and that's going to change between now and September when we get through the entire marketing year. Then plus two, you know, as far as market reaction, whether the number's big or small, it'd be weather-induced here as we move down the road, see how fast we get the crop in the ground, see how fast we get the crop out this fall here to satisfy the demand as we move into this fall.
On the weather note, it seems that wheat futures both in Chicago and Kansas City were higher on lack of rainfall over the weekend.
Well, several things is weather, lack of rain in some areas, cold weather in other areas, a little frost freeze concern. Then, too, China's in the world wheat market coming here to the U.S. and supposedly been booking quite a few cargoes of U.S. wheat. So we had a little bit of confirmation here this morning. We'll see if we see some additional confirmation as we move down the road here. But wheat was sort of the beneficial grain commodity here today, as it was firm early in the overnight trade and stayed firm most of the day session too, Todd.
Why did the bean market rally?
Well, I think the overall technical picture is a little bit oversold here. Beans have dropped a little over a dollar here since the report there at the end of March. Saw some renewed strength in world vegetable oil markets. And also, two ideas that there might have been a little export business take place here on this recent price fix. So this is various things in through here, a little short covering ahead of the report. Hopefully we could follow through a little bit here and until we see what the numbers are Wednesday morning.
Earlier in the day today, Chris Hurt from Purdue released a weekly outlook at the Farm Doc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Said, hey, I was right about one thing and wrong about the other. He was right about profits maybe returning to the hogs. He thought prices for hogs would go higher, but said it was the other way around. The price of corn went down. So I'm just wondering whether, from your perspective, hog producers ought to be locking in any of their input prices.
We'd on the cash side, definitely on corn. We feel that corn's going to continue to be harder to buy as we move down the road here. Large grain firms have gone outside the boundaries to find corn to use, and it's going to be a tough go here. So any type of price break in here definitely be accumulating some physical inventory here as we move down the road. As far as overall price of hogs, if you look at the board and convert that to the actual cash market, the board's carrying quite a bit of premium, so there is quite a bit of optimism as we go in these summer months. The thing we need to see is this overall demand pickup. Demand continues to be lackluster from this winter. And also the export side of the equations has slowed down some. So we're going to need to see both those sectors pick up to maintain those higher prices that we see what the futures are offering producers, Todd.
Hey, thanks so much.
Very good. Take care.
You too. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon.
Learned Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learned Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You can always hear us again if you'd like on our website. The address there is willag.org. If you can't get to the web when you're in the field, don't worry about it and happen to miss us on the radio. Just dial this number, 217-333-3434. We update that at 10:15 and 3:15 each and every business day with a bit of analysis and some of the numbers. That's at 333-3434 and the 217 area code. Now here's Dave Dickey with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, China reported a seventh death from a new form of avian flu and two more cases of infection, even as Chinese officials began work on a new vaccine. The H7N9 strain previously was known only to infect birds, and officials say they do not know why the virus is infecting humans now. They are still determining how people were exposed to it. The virus has been detected in live poultry in several food markets where human cases have been found, leading officials to think that people are most likely contracting the virus through direct contact with infected fowl. Authorities have halted live poultry trade in cities where cases have been reported. Chinese officials stressed today that they see no evidence that the disease can be spread via human contact, which would make it considerably more dangerous. Meanwhile, the World Health Organization is talking with the Chinese government about sending international experts to China to help them investigate the new strain of bird flu. Arkansas-based Tyson Foods will pay a civil penalty of nearly $4 million and is required to make improvements to 23 plants in four states in response to a series of eight separate violations of the Clean Air Act between 2006 and 2010. There was a series of accidents during that period in which accidental anhydrous ammonia releases at Tyson plants resulted in one fatality, multiple injuries, and property damage. According to a consent decree filed last week in U.S. District Court in St. Louis, Tyson agreed to conduct pipe testing and third-party audits of its ammonia refrigeration systems to comply with the Clean Air Act's risk management program requirements at all 23 of the company's facilities in the four states. A barometer that tracks manufacturing trends in the U.S. increased by 0.8% in February. The Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago's Midwest Manufacturing Index rose to a seasonally adjusted 96.3 in February on improved performance from all component parts except the automotive sector. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. By the way, this week's edition of Commodity Week will include one of our favorite guests, John Bondurant. I'll tell you about that more as we make the way through the week. John Bondurant on Commodity Week this Friday. Now up next, USDA's grain stocks report has caused the price of corn to drop dramatically, and as you'll hear, it has also narrowed the difference between the expected profits from an acre of corn versus an acre of soybeans for this season.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
The price of old crop corn dropped about a dollar in 2 days after USDA reported far more grain on hand in the United States than anyone expected. It also pushed the price of new crop corn, that to be planted this spring, lower, down about 30 cents. Well, that drop narrowed the gap between the profitability of an acre of corn and an acre of soybeans, says University of Illinois Extension farm management specialist Gary Schnittke.
So if we're looking at corn, planting corn versus soybeans, since the beginning of the year, there was a pretty wide margin between corn and soybeans on high productivity land. That's narrowed from about $125 per acre down to $46 on high productivity land. So high productivity land, we still see corn more profitable than soybeans. On low productivity land, we see now soybeans being more profitable than corn, and that's lower productivity. We see more of a favorable corn to soybean yield ratio on lower productivity land than higher productivity land. So those reports did have a impact on expected returns for corn versus soybeans.
Here's how those numbers lay out. On April 2nd, the harvest time bids were $5.10 for corn and $12.20 for soybeans. Just a month earlier, February the 28th, the bids were $5.30 per corn and $12.25 per soybeans. During the earlier time frame, the expected difference between the profitability of the two crops on highly productive central Illinois cropland was $81 in favor of corn.
That $81 went down to $46 on April 2nd. On lower productivity land on February 28th, the difference was $29, $387 for corn after corn, $357 return for soybeans after corn. And that difference went to minus $3, so soybeans more profitable than corn after the report.
Given all that, Schnitke says it's unlikely the change will cause Illinois farmers to swap intended acres from one crop to the other.
By now, I mean, we're going to the field next week, hopefully.
Maybe, depending on the rainfall. The pause, delay in the start to the corn planting may be just enough time for USDA's April World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, the WASD report, to undo, confirm, or simply adjust the March grain stocks figure. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
This is the closing market report for a Monday afternoon. Greg Johnson is on the phone line from the Andersons here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Greg. Heard about anybody in the white area that you guys draw from that's decided to put corn in the ground yet?
Oh, we had heard that there was one person south of Decatur that planted some corn over the weekend. Just one, and I don't know how much. Maybe just checking out the planter to make sure it works. The soil temperatures certainly weren't very conducive last week, but I guess they have warmed up a little bit. But ahead of all this potential rain in the forecast, I think most farmers are going to wait and see how much rain we get this week, and then when the weather's fit after that, then I think we'll be, you know, more inclined to go.
Yeah, the rain keeps being pushed back. It probably just
say that. We went through this last year.
I know. Well, but it was supposed to come Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and now it keeps being pushed back just a little bit. I guess we've had a little rainfall, but most of those showers for today ended up in much northern reaches of the Midwest than here, that's for sure.
Yeah, we hate to start off on that pattern of missing them. I guess the best chance we've got is Wednesday. So if we don't get very much out of the rain Wednesday, then we may start wringing our hands and wondering if we're in another repeat of last year. But hopefully we'll break that pattern and start getting a little bit of rain when we need it.
Well, rain and WASD on Wednesday, that should be a fun day.
There you go.
What do you think they'll show? Anything exciting?
The farmers are basically just going to wait and see until Wednesday. I mean, and if they get the crop planted and off to a good start, they may be a little bit more inclined to sell some new crop corn. But at this level and at this price and this time of the year, I think now they're just going to wait and see if this thing bounces back a little bit.
Is that okay as long as they've got crop insurance?
Well, it is. I'd like to hope that maybe they'll sell a little bit on a small bounce. I think, you know, the crop insurance covers you for 85% if you signed up for that at the February price of 565, which is about 480. So we are protected below 480, but the market's still at 520, 530. So, you know, there still is another 50 cents of downside before the insurance covers you. So I'd like to see if we get any kind of a bounce at all, whether it be the WASD report or you know, some weather concerns, planting delays, miss a rain here or there, whatever it takes. If we can get a small bounce, I'd like to see a little bit more coverage. And I think the key is to lower our sights and be realistic, because that report, there's no doubt about it, we have to lower our expectations after that.
Your bids for the day.
Old crop corn is $6.57. New crop corn, $5.15. Old crop beans are $13.99. New beans are $12.07. And new wheat is $6.97.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Back in 2 minutes.
It's National Empanada Day. Empanadas are made by folding a thick, circular-shaped dough patty over a stuffing, creating its typical semicircular shape. Pastry is the traditional Latin version of the U.S. Hot Pocket. On this day in agricultural history in 1862, John D. Lindy of Philadelphia patented the first aerosol dispenser. In 1873, Alfred Paruff received a patent for the first commercially viable margarine manufacturing process, but he was a little too successful. When margarine sales threatened butter sales, state and federal officials levied taxes on margarine. In 1879, the Echo Farms Dairy of New York began selling milk in glass bottles, the first time that ever happened in the U.S. In 1898, the first U.S. College of Forestry was created at Cornell University. In 1911, Melvin Calvin was born. Calvin was an American biochemist who discovered how carbon dioxide is absorbed into green plants and its conversion into carbohydrates and other organic compounds. And in 1992, Benjamin Eisenstadt died. He invented the artificial sweetener Sweet'n'Low. When saccharin became popular in the 1950s, it was originally only available as a liquid or as tiny pills. Eisenstadt mixed saccharin with dextrose to create saccharin in a packet form. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647. Or on the internet at batescom.net.
This is the closing market report. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Let's check the weather forecast. Mark Russo is on the line with us. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the rainfall that we haven't gotten yet. Where to go, and will we get some later in the week here in our part of the world?
Yeah, certainly looks like rain is on the way, although we have to wait basically 36 hours for it, although there's an outside chance could see an isolated shower or storm overnight tonight or towards the morning hours. But for east central Illinois into west central Indiana, the main opportunity for rain is going to be coming up throughout the day on Wednesday and then lingering on into Thursday. And as it looks right now, we see widespread rain showers and even some thunderstorms. Even along with that, some of the thunderstorms could produce heavy rainfall, even severe weather in areas of central southern Illinois and down south through the Mississippi River Valley. Precip totals here could be as much as 1.5, even over 2 inches of rainfall in certain areas, depending on if you're under the influence of heavy rainfall activity. So it looks like a significant rain event here coming up, not only for central Illinois and Indiana, but for the vast majority of the Midwest and even on into the Delta region.
How about into the Kansas-Oklahoma area for the hard red winter wheat? Will they actually get it or not?
It does look like they're going to get significant rainfall in a significant portion of the hard red belt. It's not all-encompassing, Todd, but for central and eastern Kansas, much of Oklahoma except the panhandle and into portions of northern Texas with the exception of the panhandle, that hard red acreage does look to receive significant precip. More debate, though, in southwestern Kansas down into the Texas panhandle, and it depends on just where some of the precip here begins to develop over the next few days, but that's the one area that could miss out.
There is still crop to harvest in South America. What kind of conditions will that happen under?
Well, a little bit slower going here in areas of Argentina and southern Brazil. That's the active zone over the next couple of weeks. Not as active as what happened last week, and we had some of the very heavy rainfall and even some flooding issues in areas of northeastern Buenos Aires. So nothing like that here that will be repeated this week, but still some more rain on the way, and that will keep things at least a little bit slower, but nothing very bogging down here as it looks right now.
Other areas of the northern hemisphere we need to check in on include China. The beginning of their growing season is upon us.
Yes, southern China will be on the warm side, while northeastern China in Manchuria and even the northern North China Plain, that area will continue to have a cold bias, kind of similar here to the northern plains pattern over the next couple of weeks. So very limited weather here for any kind of early planting progress there. In fact, that it would be really early for them to start planting that far up north. But from a soil moisture and irrigation standpoint, a little bit of dryness in areas of the northern North China Plain, nothing to get concerned about right now. But that area would like to at least see a little bit uptick in precipitation as we get later into May, later into April, and even into the start of May.
Thanks so much, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
You too. Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday, or rather Monday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. Have a great day.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.